ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 18। किंग ययाति रिगेन्स हिज यूथ। टेक्स्ट 22। यद् इदं कूपमग्नाय भवतो दर्शनं मम, न ब्राह्मणो मे भविता हस्तग्राहो महाभुज, कचस्य भारस्पस्तस्य शापाद्यमशमपं पुरा। Translation and purport. Because of the falling in the well, I met you. Indeed, this has been arranged by Providence. After I curse Kacha, the son of the learned scholar Brihaspati, he cursed me by saying that I would not have a Brahmana for a husband. Therefore, O mighty armed one, there is no possibility of my becoming the wife of a Brahmana. Purport. Kacha, the son of the learned celestial priest Brihaspati, had been a student of Shukracharya, from whom he had learned the art of reviving a man who had died untimely. This art, called Mruta Sanjivini, was especially used during wartime. When there was a war, soldiers would certainly die untimely. But if a soldier's body was intact, he could be brought to life again by this art of Mruta Sanjivani. This art was known to Shukracharya and many others, and Kacha, the son of Brihaspati, became Shukracharya's student to learn it. Devayani desired to have Kacha as her husband, but Kacha, out of regard for Shukracharya, looked upon the guru's daughter as a respectable superior and therefore refused to marry her. Devayani angrily cursed Kacha by saying that although he had learned the art of Mruta Sanjivani from her father, it would be useless. When cursed in this way, Kacha retaliated by cursing Devayani never to have a husband who was a Brahmana. Because Devayani, like Yajati, who was a Kshatriya, she requested him to accept her as his bona fide wife, although this would be Pratiloma Vivaha, a marriage between the daughter of a high family and the son of a lower family. She explained that this arrangement was made by Providence. Hare Krishna. So in this verse, we can see that Devayani, the daughter of Shukracharya, is confiding with King Ayati something which had happened in the past. And in this situation, it's quite different situation. King Ayati happened to be there, and he rescued Devayani. And earlier, days there was a custom that a girl would not be touched by any other person except her husband. And if somebody touches, then he has to marry. So, she's explaining in this verse that this is happening because of the providence. Because she was not going to get married to any Brahmana because of curse of Kacha, the son of Brihaspati, who came to Shukracharya to learn the art of Mruta Sanjivani. And as yesterday Akinchand Krishna Prabhu has very nicely explained the story, how this Kacha was killed by demons, they understood that he has come with some hidden agenda to learn this art. 2-3 times they killed him. So later on they killed him and fed him to Shukracharya. So there are so many things which one may think that how it is possible that Shukracharya can eat a human flesh. That is one. Then another thing is that how they could revive a dead person. And here in the purport also Srila Prabhupada is very nicely explaining that this type of marriage, pratiloma marriage, the marriage between a Brahmana girl and Kshatriya, was not allowed in the beginning. Sometimes anuloma marriages were allowed. Means a Brahmana can accept a Kshatriya girl. And in later on in Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see that Roma Harishana Sutta, who was born as a pratiloma marriage, the son of what was the name of his father? Roma Harishana Sutta's father. So he actually offended Balaram. Balaram at the time was on pilgrimage. He did not want to take part in the war between the Kauravas and Pandavas. That was like Mahabharata war. And he just decided to take that opportunity to go to various pilgrimage places. And there he saw that this Roma Harishana Sutta is sitting on Vyasasan, giving Bhagavatam Pravachan, and he's not offering respect. It is etiquette. Of course, there are different things. One may not stand if he's that. That is one. But if a person of a superior level comes, then he has to offer a proper respect or acknowledge that personality. Otherwise, it is considered as an offense. So Balaram, Lord Balaram, is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original spiritual master. and he did not get up, did not stand to offer respect. And Balaram, what it did, he as soon as he committed offense, his lower birth was considered. That, just see, this person is of pratiloma, means marriage, and he is not offering respect. So therefore, as long as one becomes a devotee and practices the various principles of Krishna consciousness, one can make advancement. But when somebody offends a devotee, then immediately his previous background is considered. That he is from this type of background, that's why he is offending. So, and that can be quite harmful to the progress in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, one has to be very, very careful, you know, in following different etiquettes. So, Balaram, what he did, he just took a blade of kusha grass and just touched his head, and he was killed. So why he did like that? Because he wanted to set an example that how one should be very careful. One should not just pose himself as a advanced personality, giving big talks. But what is the practical behavior? That is most important. That will show that how much one is really advanced. So, Srila Prabhupada also many times used to say that it is not just by wearing a thread one can become a Brahmana. There are so many Brahmanas in our country. They, by birth, they consider as themselves as Brahmanas, but not by qualification. And other times Srila Prabhupada says that it is not just by rubber stamping one can become a Mahatma. That some people, they nominate someone as a Mahatma. He is a great person, great soul. But what are the qualities of Mahatma according to Srimad Bhagavad Gita? That has to be considered. And another place Srila Prabhupada explains that it is not just by wearing the dress of a sadhu one can become a sadhu. One has to acquire those qualities. And therefore, earlier ages, they were quite aware of all these intricacies. That a Brahmana is supposed to get married to a Brahmana, Kshatriya to a Kshatriya girl, like that. So here, the case was little complicated, because this Devayani, she had cursed Kacha, the son of Brihaspati, because when she found out that he is not going to marry, when he came to the house of Shukracharya to learn this art, and Shukracharya, who was a Shukracharya? Shukracharya was spiritual master for demons. He was very, very powerful. His sons, Shanda and Amarka, they were appointed to teach Prahlad Maharaj in the various diplomacies, politics, and so many things. Sam, Dam, Dandapit. So we can imagine the power of Shukracharya. It must be quite powerful. And his daughter, Devayani, she, because of that type of status, she had also acquired certain powers. She was also not an ordinary girl. She could curse Kaccha, that your power would be useless. Whatever you have learned will not be useful. And in turn, Kaccha also curses her, that she would not get a Brahmana as a husband. So that was the history of this story. That how this situation has arisen. And she's considering this as arranged by the providence. And this type of situations, many times people get confused that if everything is ordained, if everything is ordained by the providence, if everything is decided what is going to happen, then what is the use of practicing Krishna consciousness? Because if I had to come to Krishna consciousness, I will come. If I am not supposed to come, then I will not come to Krishna consciousness. So these are the various ways one can justify for not practicing Krishna consciousness. Of course, when somebody comes to Krishna consciousness, then one realizes that how it is only by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord and His devotees one can receive, one can come to this path. But as long as one is not under the internal energy of the Supreme Lord, he'll be influenced by the modes of material nature, by the laws of this material world. Whether you like it or not, these laws will be enforced upon you. And this material world, there is a hard struggle for existence. People struggle hard, even to win one cup. So much struggle. So much struggle is there. It's not easy. People are just, and for what? For little pleasure. So there is a tremendous struggle in this material world. Because this material world is designed like that. Prakriti sthani karshati. One is struggling. So, in this situation, one means, in this case, Devayani is accepting this because she saw that King Ayati is a Kshatriya and he has come here to rescue her and he has helped, he has touched her. That means he is my husband, like that. So she takes it in that way. And he could not refuse, although he did not like, it is mentioned in the previous verse. But he also realized that what could be the repercussions if he refuses, because her father is Shukracharya, who is very, very powerful. And if he is displeased, he can curse. He can curse and he will be nowhere. He knew about his father, King Nahusha, who was cursed to become, sorry, to become a python. And King Yayati was appointed as the ruler of this entire world. And then he thinks that it is better to accept whatever is coming now. Instead of displeasing Shukracharya and inviting some more danger, better accept. So if he is pleased, then something good will happen. So he accepts in that way. And then later on, we can see that how things become more complicated later on also. Because now he has to be, he's tied up in this type of family relationships. His father-in-law is Shukracharya, a very, very powerful personality. And we can see that Shukracharya had this art of Mruta Sanjeevani. And in the earlier cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam also, we can see that how he had used that many times to revive the dead bodies of the demons. Even Bali Maharaj, it is explained that when he died in the fight between demigods and demons, he revived Bali Maharaj. So he was very, very powerful actually. And he was expert in that art, reviving someone from the dead. And in earlier ages, this kind of siddhis or powers, they could have. As long as the body is intact, the material body is intact, they could revive a person. So, that's how he had revived many demons. Because they knew that there is soul. It is not the material body itself is not all in all. This is quite challenging to modern material scientists who think that this material body is all in all. And there is nothing beyond this. It is meant for only enjoyment. And there is no life after death. So better try to enjoy in this material world. So, because of such ignorance, the whole direction of the society is going in a very wrong way actually. And the more they are averse to or they do not accept the existence of the soul, the more and more problems will be happening. Because in this Kali Yuga, people do not believe in the existence of God, Krishna, or they do not believe in the existence of soul, that there is no soul. This body itself is a chemical composition, and it is existing because of certain situations of these chemicals, and then it will end. But why it ends, what happens at that time, that is not explained. That they cannot explain. What happens after death? And we can see that in some 1,000 years before, in Egyptian civilization, they believed, they had some kind of belief that the soul, the person will again be brought back to life. And Therefore, they used to even preserve the dead bodies. Some religions, they do not burn the body. They bury the body. Or sometimes they try to preserve it, thinking that maybe after some years or at certain time, that person will again be revived. That kind of faith is there. So they used to do some kind of mummification. That means they used to preserve those. There are a lot of mummies found. Thousands of mummies they have found in Egypt, in Chile, and in Peru. These countries, they have found those mummies. And according to the dating calculations of spiritual scientists, the oldest mummy is of almost 6,000 years old. Something they have found. So that itself contradicts their theories that life originated just few thousand years before. But of course such facts are not brought in the public, because that will contradict their own theories. And there are many animal mummies also they have found. So that kind of faith they had, that yes, there is something which has been lost, and after some time it will again come back. So they would do a lot of type of black magic and sacrifice, and the children and like animals, and so this kind of art was there. They had some kind of faith, but in the very, very ancient ages, this information which is coming in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is many, many thousands of years old, and we still read today, that it is not it's not old, or we do not become tired of reading such things. The news of this material world, maybe very, very giving pleasure for some time. People may be enjoying, celebrating certain events because of, again, the bodily conception of life. I am born in this particular land, and that, again, the bodily conception. So, or some things could be very painful, like in Japan, there was just recently a big earthquake, and because of the tsunami, there was a lot of devastation has happened. So it could be very painful. But how much time it is going to last, compared with the whole creation of this material world? These kind of things will come and go. But what is the higher truth? That is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. How to transcend this bodily conception of life? And how to remain always higher above, not coming down. So, therefore, we need to read this type of information, and it is not just simply information, but it helps to purify our heart. The more we read, more we hear, it helps. Because it is not simply repetition of words that is going to purify our heart, but in the mode in which we perform these, the same activities, the same chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the same reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. So many things are similar. We are doing day after day. But still, it is increasing. Pleasure is increasing. Anandam bodhi vardhanam. Why? Because it has connection with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, it transcends all the three levels, goodness, passion and ignorance. All three modes of material nature one transcends immediately. And one is situated on the higher platform. So therefore, one has to practice in that way, the same thing. Otherwise, it becomes a ritual. There is a difference between ritual and spiritual. Ritual means just to do same thing mechanically, without any interest in it. So even the spiritual things can become rituals. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam or even giving Srimad Bhagavatam class can become a ritual if you are not careful. Because just read some stories and then tell someone and then, but it has to be done with more devotion. It is as a service. One should know that it is a service, it's purification. And sometimes we may not be prepared to give Bhagavatam class, still we have to speak. But the best thing in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that it purifies all different types of people. Those who are speaking, one who is speaking, those who are hearing, and people in Chandra. Just like the Mother Ganges purifies all the three worlds. That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken, like when Shukadeva Goswami was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, they did not have any kind of modern communication systems. In today's world, a small thing is broadcasted in such a big way. Everyone is just tuned to that. So much sensation, so much hype for one small sport. And how much that happiness is going to last? Last week when we went to Nasik, Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj, he inaugurated his talk with this thing. That nowadays these sports are going on, World Cup. And even if somebody wins, how much time that happiness is going to last? After a few years, again, they need to have some kind of different thing. So material world, there is no eternal happiness, actually. They have to find out something new, every time, newer and newer. And to get that happiness, again, there is a hard struggle for existence. It is not easy. We are struggling hard. But the difference in Srimad Bhagavatam is that you hear, you speak, you ask questions, you get purified. Because that's a devotional service. You are connected with devotional service. And whatever time you are devoting, it is an investment that will be never lost. And slowly, slowly you will keep making progress towards the ultimate goal. So here we can see that the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, that so many sages they came actually. Vasishtha Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, even Parshuram, they are like the great sages staying in different planets. They started coming because they realized the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami, in previous chapters, it was he was speaking the story of Parshuram. And Parshuram was sitting in the audience. We can imagine that he has to narrate the story of how he was angry and he killed all so many Kshatriyas so many times. But of course, at this time, Parshuram was practicing austerities, and he was by born as a Brahman, and so he could talk, he could pacify himself. After some time, he could control his senses, and of course, he was not an ordinary person. He was a Supreme Personality, incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God. And Vishwamitra Muni was sitting there. So, last few chapters, it was seen that when Shukadeva Goswami, he narrated the story of Parshuram, there was some connection of Vishwamitra Muni, as he had some sons of 101 sons. Immediately told the story of Vishwamitra, that how Vishwamitra Muni was, he appointed Shunashepa, he asked his other 50 sons to accept him as the elder brother. So he knew this kind of things, that how to please everyone in the audience. It's quite difficult. But Shukadeva Goswami, he was not embarrassed. He is not glorifying them because of otherwise he would get curses, or they will get offended. But as a natural course of his talk, he just adjusted everything properly. And that is the expertise of a speaker. So here also, in this case, we can see that how he is narrating this story, and how it is, he is going into the histories, how previously what had happened and everything, details. So later on we will see that in the next verses, how the next events happen actually. How Shukracharya had to just to please his daughter, because his daughter became angry and she came running towards her father, and she told that now you had to come with me, because Sharmishta, who was a daughter of Vrishaparva, and Vrishaparva was the disciple of Shukracharya. So Shukracharya would not like to go to disciple. He was a spiritual master, he was a quite elevated position. So it was below his dignity to approach his disciple just to please his daughter. But he had to go. Srila Prabhupada explains that sometimes as a family matters, one has to adjust so many things. So then he goes, and then he just comes out on the street and falls flat in front of Shukracharya. He knew that how Shukracharya could curse him otherwise, and some other he pacifies him. And then Devayani tells that this Sharmishta should become a maid servant because she has offended her. And that was a system earlier, that somebody has offended, either they become the disciple, or they accept as a servant or a maid servant, like that throughout their life. We can imagine how they were carefully following all these type of etiquettes. So these are the things, and how Srila Prabhupada also very nicely explains in the purport That what are the, how things happen, like cursing and counter cursing, and how they have, even they had to undergo certain reactions, and the will of the providence. In spite of all these things, everyone has been given a free will, whether to accept whatever Lord is given or to reject, or to become independent. And the Supreme Lord does not interfere with our free will, because He knows everything, past, present and future. Vedaham samaditani vartamanani charjo. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that I know the past, I know the future, I know the present. But still, you should fight. Krishna knew everything, but still He told. So therefore, that shows that how there is a dynamics in spiritual life. It is not just stagnant that, okay, I will just make this much progress in this life. No, it depends upon your free will. If you realize the urgency, then you can practice the same process with more seriousness. Therefore, we can see that somebody start practicing Krishna consciousness, and within short time, they make so much advancement. Because the process is same. Krishna has given the process, but at the same time, He is not forcing us to follow the rules and regulations. And Srila Prabhupada also explains that Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. That one cannot just artificially practice this process. One has to practice it through his heart. Then everything will be easy. Easy in the sense that he will be able to accept everything positively. Even because the material world is not going to change. One may think that I have now taken the process of Krishna consciousness, which is the topmost process. Now everything should be all right. But since we are practicing the process in the material world, where there are three types of miseries, so one will get affected. But if somebody is firm, somebody is determined, then by the practice of same process, one can make great advancement. Yasmin sitona, what is that verse? Gurunapapi vichaljate. That by achieving that position, one will not be disturbed even in the situation of great calamities. That kind of steadfastness one can achieve in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to become the Brahmanas. He knew that they are not qualified. When he was expanding the movement, he knew that he is taking a big risk, because they are, the whole background is different. They are born in different countries, their nature is different. So how can they can become Brahmanas? So of course, if somebody practices, then one can acquire the qualities of Brahmana. And still there may be some traces of the previous conditionings which may remain. Like here in the case of Vishwamitra Muni also, he was in the beginning a Kshatriya and he wanted to become Brahmana. So he was practicing so much austerities. He was falling down and again and again he was practicing. And what are the qualities of Brahmana? Shamo, Dhamma, Tapa, Shaucham, Shanti, Marcham, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Astikam. So these are the qualities one must exhibit. Control of the senses, austerity, peacefulness, tolerance, forgiveness. So these kind of things one has to not just show, but one has to practice. It should be there as a natural thing. So for a Kshatriya to become Brahmana was quite difficult. Like Vishwamitra Muni, it was quite difficult. But still he practiced for many, many years. And then later on he was given this Brahmarshipat. He was become a Brahmana. He was accepted as Brahmana then. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada wants us to become the perfect Brahmanas. Even he was saying that even there is a one perfect Brahmana, that is good. Because Brahmanas are like the heads of the society. They can guide the entire society. The process is perfect. It is not that because somebody is born in a different country or from different background or lower birth that he is not able to become Brahmana. No, the process is perfect. The one, if somebody practices it sincerely, gradual purification will happen. And all these conditionings can be removed. And one can not only just become Brahmana, but can become a first class Vaishnava. That is the process has been given by Srila Prabhupada. So, I will end here now. If there are any questions or comments, please. Yes. Please.
If someone is Vaishnava, but someone is Vaishnava, like who is following the regulative principles of devotional service, like chanting the names or reading scriptures, but if he is not initiated Brahman, so can he consider as a Brahman? Can he be qualified as a Brahman? If he is simply Vaishnava, like simply serving Krishna, he has to go, like,
can
is it important
again?
To go through initiation of Brahmanism?
If he is a Vaishnava.
Yeah, if he's a Vaishnava, simply Vaishnava, simply serving Krishna.
Then, can you repeat again, can you come again?
If one is a Vaishnava, he has to, is it necessary, is it in, like essential to go, he has to go through the Brahman initiation?
If he's already a Vaishnava, then he is a Brahman. Because Vaishnava is higher than a Brahman. That's what, it is not just by wearing a thread one can become Brahmana. That should be clear. There are, like, we meet, sometimes we travel in taxi and like that. So we meet drivers, they say that I am a Brahmana. But just by wearing a thread, that's not a qualification. The real qualification of Brahmana is given in Bhagavad Gita. So, and regarding the initiation part, it is some kind of necessity. Because in Kali Yuga, it is explained that everyone is born as Shudras. It's not my version, but Kalo Shudra Sambhava, it is explained. Samskarat Bhavet Dvija. Vedapatha Bhavad Brahmana Brahmajat Brahmajana Vipra Brahmajanati iti Brahmana. It is explained that in Kali Yuga everyone is born as Shudras. It's Kali Yuga. It's not by birth somebody can be a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. It's not by birth. Somebody may have been born in that type of family. Correct? So that will help him. It is just like a person, somebody is born to a doctor or engineer. That doesn't qualify him to become, he is not accepted immediately as a doctor or engineer. Correct? He has to go through that training. When he acquires those qualifications, then he will be accepted as a doctor or engineer like that. So similarly, to be accepted as a Brahmana, initiated Brahmana, then one has to acquire those qualifications. It is not just by giving one exam or passing. Okay, I passed Bhakti Shastri, so I have to become now Bhakti Brahmana. No. That is one part of it. That one must be knowing the scriptures. But one has to exhibit those qualities. If he doesn't exhibit, then how can we accept him as a Brahmana? So, somebody may be born in that type of families. He has a good prospects of becoming a qualified Brahmana or a Vaishnava. So then he has to get trained. He should learn under a proper spiritual master. Because the scriptures direct us to approach a bona fide spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapadyat jidnyasu shreya uttam. It is explained that why one wants to become Brahmana? What is the purpose? Purpose is then when he is eligible to study scriptures, the Vedas. Correct. That is the need. That is the basic thing. One becomes a Brahmana to study the scriptures, the Vedas. And then later on, he makes progress. Otherwise, why one has to become Brahmana? It is not just to be accepted. But when somebody realizes the urgency, that these are the things, these are the steps to make progress in spiritual life, then one will accept. Correct? So, therefore, to become Brahmana, it's a responsibility again, because then one has to practice the duties of Brahmana. What are the duties of Brahmana? Yajan, 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 patan, patan, dana, parikrama. One should study the scriptures and teach the scriptures. One should perform the yajnas and like that. Accept the charities, give the charities. These are the duties of a Brahmana. Of course, when this has become more institutionalized, we cannot enforce everyone like that. Sometimes as a preaching movement, we have to allow, we have to give that type of liberty to people, to devotees, aspiring devotees, to be accepted as Brahmanas. At the same time, they're working outside. Usually Brahmana is not supposed to work. The first class Brahmana will not work under someone. He will not accept even big alms from anyone. So to become the first class, the topmost Brahmana is not easy. A Brahmana cannot be rich. Because even if he acquires opulences just for his purification, he has to give, he has to accept the life of simplicity to maintain his standards of Brahmanical qualifications. He has to get detached. Otherwise, there are so many Brahmanas accepting charity, dakshina, diksha. But that's not the purpose. So, of course, it's quite subjective, and there are many authorities. I'm just a neophyte. Shamanandra Bhu, if he can speak something. So, these are the basic things. To become a Brahmana, elevated Brahmana, is a quite high level. So, yes, if somebody wants to make advancement, if that is the real desire, then one should get initiated, at least accept a spiritual master. Not as a formality, but when he realizes, yes, this is a need. I need. It is not out of social pressure, but for my purification. So, these are the things. So, is that okay? You are satisfied with the answer? Madhavendra.
One small comment and also a question relating to this. Just as you mentioned, just by wearing a Brahman thread, one cannot become a Brahmana. Similarly, how does one become a Vaishnava? Because many times people self-proclaim themselves to be a Vaishnava. Because I'm following some process, so can I call myself as a Vaishnava? That's, you know, just like wearing a Brahman thread, I cannot call myself a Brahmana. So there has to be some traits and qualities of Vaishnava. That's one thing. And as you very rightly said, without accepting a spiritual master, is it also possible that I may do some practices myself, but I don't accept a spiritual master or any authority in life? Can I still be called as a Vaishnava?
Vaishnava also, there are different levels. When this question was asked to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at different times, once, first time he answered that one who has chanted the name of Krishna once is he, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is a Vaishnava. Once, Krishna. Yes, he is a Vaishnava. That's okay. Second time, when the same question was asked, then he said that one who is constantly chanting something, I don't know. But that was little higher. Means one should be constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he's constantly chanting the names of Krishna. And third time, the same question was asked. Lord Chaitanya answered that just by seeing that person, that Vaishnava, one feels like chanting. That is the higher level. So, in Vaishnavas also, there are different levels. We accept anyone, like putting tilak, kanti mala, chanting beads. Externally is a Vaishnava. But to go to deep levels, deeper, to know that how much, what is the level, how much he has made progress, that will be shown by his behavior. Kanishta adhikari, madhyam adhikari, uttam adhikari. Rupa Goswami has explained. Kanishtadhikari is just worshipping the deities, seeing the Lord only in the deity form. But the expansion of the Lord as a super soul is there in the heart of each and every living entity. Not just the devotees, those who are dressed as Vaishnava, but even the karmis, there is super soul in the heart. A materialist, gross materialist. So, Shishirada Gopinath ki, even other animals. Therefore, Pandita Samadarshina, Lord Krishna says that one sees spirit soul or the super soul in the heart of all living entities. So, who has acquired that vision? Who has come to the level of Mahabhagavat? Correct? So, one who has acquired that type of qualification, his behavior will be obviously different. Sometimes, externally, if you try to judge, you will not understand. Because the greatest of Mahabhagavatas, sometimes externally may be very simple, or they may be doing certain things which we may not be able to rationalize. So, it's difficult to understand the level. Therefore, Jada Bharat also, he was posing himself as a fool, just going here, there, acting, behaving. But when it came, he started speaking. Then King Rahugana realized that he is not an ordinary person, he is a self-realized person. He could speak the highest philosophy on soul. So that will show, not just by externally putting. That is good. One is reminded, oh, this is my duty, I should be doing this, I should not be misbehaving, I should not be doing wrong things. That is one thing. And again, this question of taking initiation, whether somebody can just practice certain things and be accepted as a Vaishnava without any authority, that's little risky. That's little risky actually, because because some souls may be like that. Those who may be really genuine souls, some may be Nitya Mukta souls, eternally liberated souls. For them, there is no duty in this material world, correct? So, they can go anywhere, they are doing their own things, and at the same time they are connected with the Supreme. They have this as some kind of leelas, the pastimes they have come in this material world. But even the great souls, the Uttam Adhikari, who is on the Uttam Adhikari, for the sake of preaching, he comes down to the level of Madhyam Adhikari to set an example, so that common mass of people will not be misled. Correct? Because people in general, they just get carried away. Somebody shows some miracles. Somebody shows some powers. Somebody is charismatic. Somebody has a different appearance. People get misdirected. They start following. Followers. So, the great souls, those who are Uttam Adhikari, they come down to the level of Madhyam Adhikari. So therefore, even we may ask that Srila Prabhupada also, if he was on the higher level, if he analyzed the life, then we will know that he was not an ordinary person. He was always connected with Krishna. He says that he never, there was never a time I forgot Krishna or forgot spiritual instructions of my spiritual master. So he was always connected. Although he was doing some activities in this material world, on this ethereal, earthly platform, but he was connected with the spiritual, highest thing. So he set an example. So therefore we need an acharya to guide. And Krishna by his on mercy, he sends, keeps sending acharyas, the bona fide devotees, those who will guide. Okay, now the path has been lost, again it is revived through some connection. You get connected. We are wandering in the darkness. We are born in darkness. Therefore, we chant in the beginning, Om Ajnana Timurandas. What is the meaning? We are born in darkness. So, therefore, we need a person who shows the path. Otherwise, we may stumble and we may fall down. Even after initiation, we may have difficulties. What to speak of before that? It's not, initiation is not the final end. Initiation means the beginning. It's a beginning, actually. Then the real process starts, the purification will start. So therefore, sometimes devotees will leave even after practicing so much. But they are not able to handle the purification sometimes. So, therefore it is necessary actually. It is, we need a guidance. We need guidance. We should know what is going to, next stumbling block. Should keep studying. Not just book knowledge, but under higher authorities, under those who are gone ahead. Not just by knowledge, but by practice, by time. They have struggled, they have gone ahead. We should learn from them. Then we'll know, yes, this is the test I have to pass to go ahead. Surprise test. We are not ready, but Krishna will send some surprise test. And sometimes we may be practicing so nicely, we think that, oh, so nice, everything is good, going on. And it will go on like this. But suddenly some test comes. And then we know what we are, where we are. So, of course, Krishna will test according to our level. That is one thing. We should be ready. We should accept. And at the same time, we should continue the process. We should not just give up the process in between. That will be a great service to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was telling that, please don't leave ISKCON. That was his request to everyone. Whatever happens, whatever difficulties, don't worry. Just keep chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. That is your credit, that is your eternal wealth. Nobody can take away. Hare Krishna, sorry, it's too late now. Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shrila Prabhupada ki jai.